WildTalkRadio.com.
I have one question for everybody here tonight.
Are you ready?
Wild Talk Radio presents to you the Monday Night Raw Post Show.
Now I put no stock in what any man thinks, only what I know. And what I know is this. The result will be just like the first time. I will put him 6 feet under. Game over.
Featuring Sir Rockin.
I am talent. I am fame. I am music. I am the air you breathe. I am everything.
And Lindsay Ward.
Yeah, well, I'm here to make something perfectly clear. The Queen is dead. And for the first time ever in Monday Night Raw history, I can rightfully say, long live the one, the only goddess of WWE.
Interact with us live and give us your thoughts on everything that happens on Monday Night Raw. Now step into the ring with us for the Raw Post Show.
Monday Night Raw.
Big promoted match tonight on Monday Night Raw was No Holds Barred. Randy Orton versus Matt Hardy. We didn't quite get it, but we'll talk about it. It's Raw Post Show presented as always by MBG Films, youtube.com/MBG1211. I'm Sorokin, that's Lindsay Ward, go!
I mean, technically we did get a No Holds Barred match. It was just a felony was committed during it, that's all.
Yeah, a felony was indeed committed. In that situation. Randy Orton came out and talked about how Matt Hardy's not clear to fight and he's out there begging people to let him fight. As he's doing this, Matt Hardy appears on the stage and he's wearing a neck brace and he still wants to know what the hell is wrong with Randy Orton. Hardy assumed that Orton didn't like it when he asked him last week, so he did his best to make him feel like the way Edge fell. Hardy said Orton tried to take his passion away from him, but you can't do that to Matt Hardy. Because as we've learned, Matt Hardy will not die. But he's not clear to fight tonight, to wrestle tonight, but he's here to fight. He doesn't know what the future is for him, but he won't let Orton decide it. He will be on his own terms. Orton told Hardy that he should have left last week while he could stand on his own 2 feet. Matt Hardy starts getting closer to the ring. He's up in the ring. Orton asks Hardy what is he going to do. What could he ever do? You know, if he could just hit him with an RKO out of nowhere right now. Because there's nothing that Matt Hardy can do about it. Orton said Hardy had balls, but he will never understand. No one will ever understand why he did what he did to Edge. As he said, he respects Matt. And everything he's done, he said he not only does he respect Edge, but he loves him like a brother. He goes, I am sorry. I am truly sorry. He walks away. Matt Hardy's just standing in the ring. Orton then slowly takes off his jacket. He gets back in the ring. Matt Hardy has a chair. And then Orton beat the crap out of Matt Hardy.
I wouldn't call that Orton beating the crap out of Hardy. I would call that Orton murdering Hardy.
Okay. At first, it was a crap beating out of him. Just start beating him with the chair. And then, well, we got a little bit more physical, as it were. You had, he took off the neck brace. Referees were trying to get involved, but it didn't happen because Randy scared him away. Because, you know, referees can't get anywhere close to a scary wrestler at any point. So he's Matt Hardy on the outside, and he drops him lays him on the steel steps and drops him with a concerto with the steel steps. Not once. But twice.
To that one fan that was screaming, not Matt, or no, not Matt, or whatever the hell it was that they were screaming.
Mm-hmm.
Bravo. That just added to this whole moment.
But also the fans were chanting, one more time, one more time, one more time.
Yeah, I was trying to avoid that. So, this was really good. I don't know if Randy has been taking acting classes or if Randy just has always been able to do this and we've never really seen him do it before, but I really hate how much I love him in this situation because he's just playing this perfectly with, like, the little bits of remorse.
It goes back to the Hunter storyline from years and years ago. This is the type of Randy, vindictive Randy that it is, but this is a little bit more turned up, I guess.
Well, this is, I feel like, with age has come certain things for Randy.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why it's turned up more, because when he was younger, especially when he was working with Hunter, he was still relatively young and full of piss and vinegar and was vindictive and vengeful and all this other stuff. And now he's settled.
Yeah.
He's still the same Randy. Like, don't get anything wrong about that. But he's less crazy, I guess, is the best way to describe him. And so there's more subtle things that come out in this that we're seeing that I'm really enjoying. Like, I love how he did... He and Matt, like, Matt did a wonderful job in this, played the perfect victim for Randy, and just, yeah, it looked like $1,000,000, especially at the very, very end, where Matt's just prone form is just laying on the steel steps.
Matt knows how to play a victim.
Well, I mean anyway. We're not going to go there. The only thing that would have made it really good, like, really better, I should say, is if, like, there was a little, just like a little trickle of blood, not a lot, but just a little bit. Just a little something. And I know they can't do that because it's network television, and I understand that, but just in this instance,
I mean, you say that, but last week, you know, Shayna
bit the crap out of Becky and there was blood everywhere. So I feel like in this case, blood would have been very appropriate and would have just put that right over the top. Like, it was right there. It was super good. It was fine the way it was. Like, there was nothing wrong with it. Just to me, though, for just pure effect, you have the blood either trickling out of Matt's nose or his mouth or his ear. Something to indicate that he is very badly injured beyond him laying there unconscious. To show how vicious Randy is. Like, oh my god, he's a father of three. Three? Four? Three.
Three. Yeah, I think three.
They have three kids, right? Unless they had another one.
Matt has three.
Okay. He's a father of three.
Maxel,
Wolfgang,
and the new one.
I forget what the new one's name is. But yeah, so it would have put that over the top. But this is a really, really good start for Raw. Mm-hmm. Very strong start for Raw. I like how they're telling the Randy story. And more importantly, I like how they're keeping Edge out of it. Like, they're having Edge off TV selling the injury and not coming after Randy.
Yeah, and which is what I said when the injury happened. It's like, you slow build the crap out of this.
Mm-hmm. And you don't need to have Edge there right away.
Because my gut tells me Christian's next.
Probably. It's either going to be Christian or it's going to be Jeff.
I don't think Christian would make more sense.
Well, Jeff comes back to avenge Matt and Edge.
Maybe Jeff. It all depends how healthy Jeff is.
Yeah, and that's the other question. But you could have Christian come back and take a couple shots and be fine and just make it that much better. And then you build to Edge's return, where he then challenges Randy at Mania.
Edge should be back, I would assume, in 2 weeks.
After Saudi.
Yeah, 2 weeks.
It'll probably be right after Chamber, just because that's when they're going to start the really hard push for Mania, obviously. So
I'd bring him back. You can bring him back the week before.
I don't think he's going.
He's not doing Chamber. I mean, you bring him back the week before Chamber on March 2nd. I think that's a good spot for him. Because then you have 1, 2, 3, 4.
Is Randy in the Chamber?
No. Because the Raw has the women's. SmackDown has the men's, so there's no need for them to have a chamber. So anyway.
Wait, does not have a dance partner yet.
So, I bring him back on the 2nd, at the 9th, at the latest. The night after chamber. So, but you're going to slowly get him back, and then you have 4 weeks of really solid build.
Mm-hmm.
I wouldn't say solid. It's been great build, because you're having Randy tell the story, and then you bring Edge back into the story. Sort of like they did when Shawn came back. Originally, when Hunter took him out, and it was a slow build to bring him back into the picture, and then when you did, he was back.
And it was really good.
Yeah.
So this could be the same way, and it would be fine.
Eric Rowan took on Aleister Black. Pretty good match between the two.
I enjoyed this immensely. I really liked how Aleister respected the cage.
He did.
So he just kind of, because Eric set it on the ring steps and Aleister just sort of stepped over it and just ignored it. Because it's like, I'm sitting here watching this and I'm going, somebody's going to die. I'm just not sure who yet. Like, I haven't quite figured that out. I like a little guessing where it's like, I don't know. Eric could win, but then there's Alistair, and Alistair's been on a roll. So I like that they're starting to make you guess and question. That's good.
And both the men have been on a roll. Both have been on long winning streaks. So again, you've built both guys up. They fight. The win is more important than just random match.
Mm-hmm. And best of all, Eric Rowan did not stick his hand in the cage.
He did not, but he did suffer the loss to Aleister Black.
He did.
Riddick Moss beat Mojo and R-Truth to retain the 24/7 championship. Yay.
Yay.
That was a thing. Let's see, what else happened on the show? Angel Garza and Bobby Lashley beat Humberto Carrillo and Rusev. Rusev's just on the way down. It's sad, but it is. He's not signing a new contract yet. That's what happens.
Well, yeah. They're not going to push him until...
Yeah, he signed something. Natty and Kairi...
Wait, what? There's one issue that came up during this match.
Okay.
Actually, technically prior to the match where they're setting it up. And that is Angel Garza. Honey, sweetie, don't be going out there saying that there's no woman that can pin you down in terms of marriage, because we all watched you get goddamn engaged on NXT, okay?
Yeah.
Like, that's the whole thing. Like, I know that's such a small little detail and nobody really cares and it's going to be forgotten by next week, but don't put stuff like that in the script when it's canon that he's engaged. Like, it happened on TV. It was all over the news sites. They put it out on all the social. It was all out there. Unless you're going to write it into the storyline that he's a lying, cheating hoe and his fiance dumped him. Like, that's the only time that's acceptable to do that, because continuity, damn it. That's all.
Can I continue?
Yes.
Kairi Sane beat Natty via countout when Asuka took down Natty at ringside. So
this was good.
It was a solid match. It's good. It's
a little weird.
A little weird.
There's a little weirdness going on, but that's okay. That's fine.
Because it was announced that it will be Ruby Riott, Sarah Logan, Liv Morgan, Asuka, Kairi Sane, and Shayna Baszler inside the chamber to fight Becky Lynch, which we'll get to in a moment. Ricochet and Karl Anderson had a match. But before this, you had AJ Styles' big return to Monday Night Raw. He's out there with Gallows and Anderson, and they're talking things up, and they're back in full force, and all this, and it's good to be back, and they point at the WrestleMania sign, you know, he's the new Mr. WrestleMania, is AJ Styles. He's the greatest superstar on any roster in any era, but it's his critics. But when he wins the gauntlet match and wins that trophy in Saudi, no one can say anything other than anything else, and he'll just say, who's next? And then he rattled off different names of who could be next. Could be Roman Reigns. It could be Brock Lesnar, Drew McIntyre. He did not say Bray Wyatt because he doesn't want to fight the Fiend. It could be Diesel, Razor Ramon, Shawn Michaels, The Undertaker. Could even be Sting. And then they made fun of Sting's, you know, look when he had the little goatee thing. The Flavor Saver, as Gallows pointed out.
The little soul patch. That time Sting had a soul patch.
Yeah. Ricochet came out, and it set up the match between Ricochet and Karl Anderson. Ricochet got the win.
It was a really good, entertaining match. I like how they set up AJ, because there is a rumor going around that the dead man cometh for him. So we'll have to see if that's true.
It was a nice little subtle setup that he mentioned The Undertaker's name. Also mentioned Shawn Michaels. I mean, you know.
Yeah, he started down that road, and I'm sitting here like, hell. My old man is not going to show up, is he?
He did not tonight, but it's...
He did not, but he could.
He started dropping seeds.
And when he does, you will hear me scream from wherever you are, because it doesn't matter. We're all always happy to see Taker.
We are happy to see The Undertaker. Charlotte Flair came to the ring.
Way better outfit this time. Way better makeup, too.
Talk about what
happened last night.
We had talked about what happened in Portland at NXT TakeOver. She said she's been impressed, and she said she thought about how her class built the foundation for what NXT is now, the third brand. She said the thing that bothers her, that they're entitled people like Rhea, who didn't have to scratch and claw and fall down as often as she did to gain and earn the respect that NXT has now. She talked about Rhea coming to Raw and holding up the title, which Flair said she put on the map. Pride comes before the fall, the old saying goes, and I'm going to humble you. At WrestleMania. Everyone is the next big thing until they are not. Good promo.
Very good promo. Very entertaining promo. Again, yeah, Charlotte Scratch. Yeah, okay.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, uh-huh. She did. I mean, she did. I mean, yeah. Yeah.
Sure.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Yeah, she did.
You know, that Flair name had nothing to do with it.
No. I mean, no. Anyway. No, it was Bayley and Sasha put that belt on the map. McIntyre came out. He says that how could they make big things? He's pointing them at time because Charlotte did already. He asked the fans if they wanted to get on television, so that's what they, now it's the Claymore countdown. When he goes 3, 2, and anyway, he says now he's going to turn Suplex City into Claymore Country.
Oh God.
The t-shirt now. He's going to demolish Suplex City to the ground at WrestleMania and leave WWE champion. Heyman came out. He's bringing out Brock, but he's not here. Just wanted you to hear the words when will sound like when it says, and still, when he beats Ricochet at Super Showdown. McIntyre said Heyman could say less than before the match at lunch when they are getting manicures together. And after he takes his head off and he's crying after he beats him for the WWE Championship, Heyman said he respects McIntyre and he didn't come to Raw to debate him. He said he's a huge admirer, but someone who isn't a big fan is MVP. MVP came out, talked about how he invited McIntyre to VIP lands last week. And he treated him like an elite level VIP. But, that was not the case when, you know, how he treated him in there. So, they had a little quick little match. Drew McIntyre got the win.
I think it was a very solid segment. Again, they're doing more and more and more to make Drew much more personable.
Well, they're doing a good job at it.
They're doing a really good job at it. He's showing a lot of personality, which is good. I liked the stuff between him and Heyman. I liked the stuff between him and MVP. I thought this was all very well set up and done. So yeah, they're doing really nice things with Drew right now.
So Becky Lynch came out. She talked about how she came to the United States for seeking fame and fortune, and she said she figured out she has no use for fame, but she figured out what to do with her fortune. She pulled out a bunch of $100 bills and laid them out on the ground after that she had a bag full of them. She said to consider a down payment on violence. Lynch said you can take every penny she has because she's telling everyone now bad things will happen when she finds Shayna Baszler. Lynch said only animals go for a neck, and when they do, it's done to weaken their prey before they end them. Lynch told Baszler to take a long look at this pretty face of the longest reigning women's champion in Monday Night Raw history. Do I look like prey to you? She said she went through Natty, Asuka, Charlotte, Sasha, Ronda Rousey, and many more. She said she cut him down because she felt she had to. I am coming after you because I want to, she said. Shayna appeared on the screen. She said she's entering the Elimination Chamber match. She said that the match will be in a cage, and well, she's a cage fighter. She said everything is laid out perfectly for her to be the one who takes her title at WrestleMania. Baszler said she would chew through her opponents to get to Lynch, and Lynch better knows better than anyone that she will do it. Baszler, she didn't plan to bite Lynch last week. She told her to imagine what she does have planned. Becky, I'm going to tear the living shit out of you.
Internet freaks out.
They go crazy. Oh my God, she said shit. Oh my God. You're technically in PG whatever. You're allowed one curse.
Sorry. PG-13. Yeah, you're allowed one F-bomb.
Yeah.
Up to one F-bomb.
Yeah. Lynch said you're going to chamber. Well, I'm going to be rooting for you at Elimination Chamber. Good stuff.
Okay, I'm just going to say this. Is that entirely necessary for her to go through chamber? Can we just do the thing? Like, they both want to fight each other. I don't know why they're being so shy about it. Just do it.
Because it's a roadmap they have to go through. It's the roadmap on the road to WrestleMania. There's a chamber match.
I understand that. But I'm just saying, you're being very bashful about this. Yet you're not being very bashful about it. You both want to fight, so all you got to do is say, hey, let's fight. Let's meet at Mania. Peace out. Also, the bag was not full of hundreds. I saw 20s and ones.
Yeah. All right, so I can't recap this. Seth Rollins did a sermon. It was there. He was very preachy.
I just want to say this, and I put this out on Twitter because I find it really fascinating the longer this goes. I feel like in some way, Bray Wyatt created these really weird-ass horcruxes for himself in Finn Balor, in Seth, and in Daniel Bryan. Like, you look at Finn, right? And he was happy-go-lucky Finn before he met Bray, and Bray beat him so bad he went back to NXT, and now he's just a dick who's vicious as hell, right?
Mm-hmm.
Daniel Bryan cut his hair, went from the eco-friendly Daniel Bryan to the uber-aggressive American Dragon. And then we have Seth. Mr. I really doesn't believe in anything has formed a goddamn cult. You can argue with me that it's not a cult, but I know a cult when I see a cult, and that's a cult.
So, as he did his speech, the Viking Raiders interfered. They took out the AOP and Murphy. While Rollins got away, Kevin Owens showed up, delivered a stunner. leading to a 6-man tag team main event match with Owens and the Viking Raiders taking on Murphy, Akam, and Rezar. Good match ends in a disqualification when Seth Rollins interfered. They then were going to crucify Kevin Owens until the Street Profits made the save.
And we were a little worried for a minute that the Street Profits were going to turn, but thankfully they didn't. And they beat up the, I don't even know what the group is called, Seth's buddies. We'll go with that. The Acolytes of Seth. We'll figure out a name. Anyway, they beat them up and sent them packing. So, and they sent Rollins packing. So I feel like this was overall a really good ending segment. The match was there. It was fine. It was whatever. But the ending segment where you had everybody come to Kevin Owens' rescue was really nice. And you have Seth sort of like reeling after that.
And Montez Ford can, you know, jump really high.
Yes, he can. He can get some height.
What happens to Goldberg? Goldberg says, Gurr, you're next, goes home to his kid.
Goldberg is a one-off. There's like the one-offs that Bray's done, and then there's like the actual serious feuds. So Brian, Finn, and Seth were all three very serious feuds for Bray. Kane was a one-off. Goldberg's going to be a one-off. Miz is Miz. I feel like at some point Bray and Miz are going to come back to each other. But even Miz is affected in the sense that Bray sent him back to 2008. And he's with Morrison again. And he's doing that. So there was an impact there as well. I don't think it's Horcrux level, but it's there. But yeah, that was Raw.
That was indeed Monday Night Raw in a nutshell.
Overall, I think it was a good show. I think it was an entertaining show.
Yeah. It all made sense. They're building. They're definitely, definitely building.
But you got stuff to plug, so plug away.
Yeah. By the way, everyone at CB Radio GOE, just type congrats. Check out the Rack Extra reviews. NXT TakeOver Portland. Available now at RackRadioShow.com. Check out the Rack Extra Reviews, Ms. and Mrs. Season 2, Episode 4, available on Wednesday evening. The Rack will be live Thursday night, 10 p.m. Eastern. We're previewing Super Showdown.
Yep, and tune in Wednesday to my channel, twitch.tv/LynnsWard. I'm going to try to get it up about 3:15, re-airing the previous recap of Ms. and Mrs. so you can catch up before Episode 4 airs that night.
Saturday night, midnight-ish, is another edition of CB Radio, CBRadioLive.com, GreaterThanGreatDebate.com. Russell Talk Radio returns Sunday night to preview Super Showdown. We'll be back next Monday night for the Raw Post Show, 11 p.m. Eastern. That Wild Talk Radio on Twitter, Facebook.com/Wild Talk Radio Network. Follow, subscribe, twitch.tv/WTR Live. If you have Amazon Prime, link to your Twitch account, it's called Twitch Prime. You can subscribe for free. Use credit code ROCKINSOCK in the Fortnite item shop when you buy your battle passes this week with the new season of Fortnite, which we'll talk about during Fortnite with Friends and on the Rack Thursday night at 10 p.m. Eastern. That is a hashtag ad because we're a hashtag epic partner.
And you can follow me on most of the social medias and on Twitch at LynnsWard, LNSWRD.
This has been the Raw Post Show, presented as always by MBG Films, youtube.com/MBG1211. We'll see you Thursday night for the Rack. And right back here next Monday night for the Raw Post Show, 11 p.m. Eastern. Along there was the Wild Talk Radio Network, right here at WildTalkRadio.com.
WildTalkRadio.com.